shampoos, one round of conditioner, and a complete achy body scrub down for the water to run clear. And I still stood under the shower, picking at the dirt under my fingernails, and when my nails were clean, I washed myself once more. I soaped up my wrists and tried to work the bracelets off until my skin was red and hurt, and only then did I give up. The bathroom smelled like a botanical garden by that point. I didn't allow myself to think through the whole process. Not until I was reaching for the faucets did the first real thought break through the haze and the simple joy of being clean again. My mom was dead. She was truly gone. Through the whole time I was with Hyperion, I couldn't let myself think too much about it. But now that I was here, I could see her face, the almost always distant glaze to her eyes, the sweet smile on her lips. There would be no saving her. No more looking forward to seeing her. My father had lied, and he had left me to rot with Hyperion, and I had rotted from the inside out. The pain, the darkness, the constant fear. I'd lived in that for days and days, and it was still inside me, still haunting every breath. And now I was here. I was with Seth. I was where I'd planned to be before I learned about my mother and before Hyperion had taken me, and it was all wrong. That had not been the reunion I'd anticipated, the one that had helped me keep my sanity in the long, dark hours trapped underground. It had just been wrong. Clapping my hands over my face, I stepped back until I hit the cool tile wall. I slid down and curled into myself, drawing my knees to my chest. The position hurt. Tugged on raw skin, pressed on bruised areas, but the tears started and it was like a floodgate opening up as I buried my face between my knees. I don't know how long I sat in the corner of the shower. It could have been minutes or hours, but the tears didn't stop and I couldn't move, couldn't force myself past all the pain and fear that festered inside me, the all-consuming, sucktastic realization that I was weak. I wasn't like Alex. If I were stronger, I wouldn't be sitting here in the shower sobbing like a kid who didn't have anyone show up for their birthday party. If I had my shit together, I would already be out of the shower, ready to talk about what I saw, what I knew. But I couldn't move. Couldn't get my brain past any of this. I was broken, truly, utterly broken inside. And the panic building in the back of my throat told me there was possibly no chance of fixing that. Because I knew only I could repair this, and I wasn't sure I had it in me to do so. Or maybe I did. Maybe once I got all this messy emotion out of me, I could piece myself back together, because I had to. I knew I did, but right now, right this very second, I couldn't. So caught up in my own head, I hadn't heard the door open or Seth call my name, but I suddenly heard his curse rip through the air. A few seconds later, the water turned off, and then he was climbing in the shower, fully clothed, wrapping a fluffy, warm towel over my shoulders. I lifted my head, barely able to see him through the tears. My mom is dead. He said something too low for me to make out, and then he was pulling me toward him. I was half in his lap, my legs between his, and water dripped off me, soaking through his jeans and shirt. Seth didn't seem to notice. He wrapped his arms around me, holding me as tight as he could without squeezing me as I buried my face against his chest. One of his hands delved deep in the wet mess of my hair.
"It'll be okay," Seth said.
His lips moved against my forehead, and he kept saying it over and over. But the last time he'd held me and said that, it had been a lie.
Chapter 17 Seth. When the tears ebbed and then stopped, all of the tension seemed to fade from Josie. Her body went limp in my arms. She was asleep, completely out of it. Concern spiked when I lifted her and rose, and she made no sound or movement. She'd been unconscious when I brought her here and had only been awake for about an hour. Then again, unconsciousness was not the same as restful sleep, and I still had no idea what she'd gone through. And why wasn't she healing? Those damn bracelets drew my attention as I stepped out of the shower, my jeans now wet and clinging to my skin. I shifted her in my arms, and the towel parted. Because I was the worst kind of asshole at the moment, I didn't look away quick enough not to catch a glimpse of the soft swell of her breast and a rosy peak. Lust punched straight through me, and the walk to the bed was not a comfortable one. Using the element of air, I willed the blanket back and then laid her down, resting her head on this soft pillow. As I started to pull away, her hand fisted the front of my shirt. My gaze flew to her face. She was still asleep, but obviously, even dead to the world, she didn't want to be alone. I couldn't refuse her. Gently prying her fingers off my shirt, I stepped back from the bed and stripped off the wet shirt. The jeans went next. I grabbed a pair of loose sweats and pulled them on and then climbed into bed beside her. Josie was shivering from head to toe. I didn't think about what I was doing. I circled an arm around her waist and as carefully as possible, I drew her against my chest. She made a soft little sound. Her lips brushed my chest. And that was all. Josie slept. And I held her. I held her as I thought about everything Alex and I had talked about. I held her as I replayed the moment I'd turned around and seen Josie, my beautiful Josie, standing on the balcony with a look of horror and confusion in her sea-colored eyes. I held her as I saw her curled up in the corner of the shower, her entire body shaking with her sobs. And it killed me. Sliced right through me, cutting me wide open to know I wasn't there for her when she learned her mother had died, or that I hadn't been able to protect her from Hyperion. I'd made so many mistakes, countless ones. I did not do right by her. But I was going to be here for her now. Smoothing a hand over her wet hair, I brushed the strands back from her face. The bruises stood out starkly against her pale skin. Rage caused my hand to tremble as I tugged the comforter up to her shoulders. Alex was probably going to cut off my balls the next time I saw her. Well, that was only if she got to me before Josie was back to herself. Gods! Of all the moments for Josie to wake up and find her way outside, it had to be right then. First, I needed to explain to her what she saw outside. Then I'd explain it to Alex, but I wasn't sure how Josie would accept this. Accept this new reality.
Josie. When I opened my eyes, I didn't know where I was. The room was dark, and I was lying on something soft, which didn't make any sense to me, and, oh my gods, I was naked under a sheet. I was on a bed, and I was naked. 100 horrible fears poisoned my brain. Had Hyperion? I couldn't even finish the thought. My heart leapt into my throat as I realized my arm was resting against a hard, warm surface that felt an awful lot like a chest. Panic exploded like buckshot, racing through every cell. My body moved before I could slow down and process anything. Jackknifing off the bed, pain flared all across my body as I threw my legs off the bed. I toppled forward, my knees cracking off the stone floor. Eyes wide, I scanned the dark room as my heart thundered in my chest. Where am I? What is happening? The form on the bed, the body on the bed, moved, sitting up. I scuttled across the floor, my palms slipping off the smooth stone. A scream built in my throat, but I couldn't get enough air in my lungs.
Josie.
Stilling at the sound of the voice, I drew my knees up. I knew that voice. Seth. It was his. That deep voice that was musical in quality, slightly accented. But that didn't make sense, because how could I be here with Seth? Unless everything had been a nightmare. No, what had happened wasn't a nightmare. It had been real. The shape on the bed suddenly moved closer. Feet landed on the floor and took a step toward me. A strangled sound left me as fear overrode my senses. I can't do this anymore. I can't do...
The shape froze.
It's okay, Josie. You're here with me. You're safe.
That voice. It had to be Seth, and I'd heard that word before. Safe. Alex had told me that when I woke up earlier. I struggled to push the cobwebs of sleep and confusion aside. Seth, I whispered.
Yes, it's me. It's just me and you in here. I'm going to turn on the lights, okay? He asked.
And when I didn't respond, he turned. I heard a click a few seconds later, and buttery soft light flooded the room. No longer in the darkness, the events of the last couple of hours rushed to the surface. Seth stood in front of the bed, his arms at his sides. He was bare-chested and was wearing a pair of loose sweats. Blonde hair fell in a mess of waves over his forehead and curled over the tips of his ears. I remembered. He'd found me in the shower and he held me while I cried. I wasn't in that horrible room anymore. I wasn't being dragged from the dank cellar to serve as a battery pack for Hyperion or Cronus. I was here with Seth. I remembered seeing him outside on a balcony, embracing another woman. Sucking in a shallow breath full of pain, I curled my arms around my knees to try to hide my nudity. Not that Seth hadn't seen it all, and then some, but I was uncomfortable and overexposed, especially with the way he was staring at me. His amber gaze roamed over me, and even though most of all the private parts were hidden, I knew he was seeing the network of bruises and red marks, the bites and torn, frayed skin. I knew this because of the way his striking face was tight and drawn. It was in the way he spoke next.
Josie, babe.
Seth's amber eyes glimmered as he crouched in front of me, not coming any closer. As he trailed off, I squeezed my eyes shut. What was I doing, other than sitting on his floor, naked as the day I was born? My throat felt raw as I forced my tongue to move. I woke up and I didn't remember where I was. I thought I was still back there. I'm sorry. I didn't hear him move, but my eyes flew open when I felt his hand land gently on my arm.
You do not need to apologize, Psyche Mu.
Psyche Mu? Seth had never called me his soul before. Sorrow filled his brilliant amber gaze.
Let me get you something to wear, okay? And then we'll move on from there. If you want to stay right where you are, we can do that. If you want to go back to the bed, then that's the plan. You let me know what you want to do, and we'll do it.
Glancing down at my bruised knees, I nodded jerkily. Seth was still for a moment longer, and then he rose, stepping around me. I kept my eyes closed until he returned, and soft cloth was draped over my shoulders. The last thing I really needed at this moment was to fully process the fact I was naked on the floor with my arms around my knees. A girl could only take so much. Forcing my eyes open, I avoided Seth's gaze as I shoved my arms through the sleeves of an unbelievably soft and fluffy robe. He tugged the belt forward, and I reached down, gathering the sides of the robe closed. Seth secured the belt.
What do you want to do now?
A flush crawled across my cheeks. The bed. Before I had a chance to stand, Seth slipped an arm under my knees and easily lifted me up in the air. In a few heartbeats, he had me back on the bed, propped up against a mountain of pillows. Sitting next to me, he quickly rearranged the bottom of the robe so that it covered my legs.
Let me get you something to eat, he said.
I shook my head. I'm not hungry. His chin tilted to the side.
You said earlier you weren't sure when the last time you ate was. You need to eat.
I know, I answered wearily, peering up at him. Seth looked so different to me with his expression full of concern and trepidation. I couldn't remember if I had ever seen him like that before. I'm just not right now. The muscles along his shoulders stiffened.
Josie, you really need to eat something.
Nodding absently, I toyed with the edges of my belt. There was so much floating around in my head, but there was something just out of reach, lingering in the recesses, something important that I needed a reminder about.
Do you know what woke you up? Seth asked.
My fingers tightened around the edge of my belt. I think I was having a nightmare. I thought I was back there when I woke up. The next breath I took scalded my throat, and I just freaked out.
It's okay, and it's totally understandable.
He picked up my hands, sucking in an audible breath.
Josie, your skin is like ice.
Skin like ice? I withdrew my hands, curling them against my chest. I'd felt skin like that, skin that was cold and didn't feel weird. A memory wiggled free. I'd crawled across a floor on my knees to check the pulse of Lauren, of the bound demigod. She'd been dead. Oh my gods, I whispered, lifting my gaze.
What?
Oh my gods, I repeated, as more memories resurfaced at a rapid clip. I saw the demigods, the missing demigods. One of them, her name was Lauren. She died while I was there. Horror filled me as I remembered the feel of her skin and her starved, abused body. They did horrible things to her, Seth. Horrible things, and she died. My voice broke off, and I swallowed hard. She died in a room with a dirt floor.
Josie, he said, voice gruff.
She had to have been starved and beaten. She was covered in dirt and bruises. I had to keep going because I had to get the words out of me. It was like lancing a blister. I thought I was going to become her, you know? I mean, she'd been there for months and months. I can't even imagine. I sucked in a sharp breath as a sound came from the back of Seth's throat. They left her in the room with us even after she'd died.
Gods!
Pain flickered across Seth's beautiful face as he took my hands again, folding his around mine. And when they finally came for her, she was dragged out of the room, just dragged across the floor like she was nothing more than a piece of trash. Tears blurred my vision, and then my body jolted at the realization. Mitchell is still there, Seth. We have to get him. I pulled my hands free once more and started to rise from the bed, but Seth blocked me with one strong arm. I turned wide eyes on him. Mitchell is still there.
You need to keep sitting.
Seth's voice was too level, too calm. I stared at him. Keep sitting? You don't understand. We have to go back and get him. Seth, he was in bad shape, and I hadn't seen him in... I don't know how much time passed, but he won't survive much longer. If he was still alive, but I couldn't bring myself to think that. Seth gently turned me so that my back was once again flush with a small mountain of pillows.
I get what you're saying, but you're not going back there.
I opened my mouth.
You are in no shape to go anywhere right now. I'm not saying that to be an ass, but the last thing you need to be doing is roaming around, let alone putting yourself in danger.
Those amber eyes seemed to glow.
You need to be right where you are, resting and getting better.
I'm fine, I denied, my hands balling into fists. His brows flew up.
Have you seen yourself, Josie? There is barely an inch of skin that isn't bruised. You're exhausted and can barely stand, and I can't feel...
He cut himself off. Can't what? His gaze searched mine.
I can barely feel any ether in you, Josie.
My stomach churned.
I know why, Josie. I see the bite marks.
Those eyes turned luminous, and a jolt of electricity filled the air.
Right now, all you need to be concerned with is getting better. That is all. Please.
A couple of moments passed before I could speak. I can't just sit here and pretend that Mitchell doesn't exist.
I'm not asking you to do that.
Then what are you asking me to do? Reaching up, I knocked a strand of hair back from my face. They have him, and trust me, he will not survive much longer. Seth didn't respond. If you won't let me go, then you can go back to where you found me. You can try to find him and get him.
No.
Stunned, I blinked and then drew back. Please, please. I can't just forget about them, about Mitchell. You can't ask that of me. We have to help him. A muscle flexed along his jaw.
I don't expect you to forget about him.
Then you can go and look for him, I argued, ignoring the roiling sensation in my stomach. You can do that, and I can stay here.
Right now, they have no idea where we are, but we're not warded against Titans or any other god. I'm not leaving you, not again. You're my number one priority. You are what I'm focused on.
His gaze met mine.
You're all that matters.
Frustration rose like a swelling river within me. It mingled with the very real pain that had settled into every joint and muscle, giving way to the terror that still hummed under my skin.
But you already left me.
Seth flinched as his back stiffened. I wanted to take back those words, but I couldn't, and I couldn't stop what came out of my mouth next.
You left me already. You left me, Seth. So I wasn't all that mattered to you a few weeks ago, so how can I be all that matters to you now?
Needing space, I scooted over. Seth went to block me again, but I shoved his arm away.
Don't.
Something akin to pain flickered across his face as he pulled his arm back. I stumbled off the bed, my skin feeling like it had been stretched too tight. I walked a few feet away and then stopped, standing on trembling legs. I closed my eyes as I tugged the hair back from my face. I wanted to feel bad for saying that to him, but it was true. He left me, and I couldn't just forget about Mitchell. My life wasn't more important than his.
I deserved that, Seth said, voice low.
I opened my eyes, but didn't face him.
I did leave you, and I wasn't there for you when you found out about your mom or when Hyperion came for you. I let you down in the worst possible way. I cannot say I'm sorry enough. I'll never be able to make up for how I failed you.
My throat burned. You didn't know what happened.
That doesn't matter in the end. You needed me and I wasn't there.
His voice deepened, turned ragged.
I will never.
Don't, I repeated, unsure of what I was asking him to stop. Exhaustion tugged at me, like I hadn't slept in years. Emotionally spent, I was mentally drained as I slowly faced him. Unsteady on my feet, I swayed slightly. My gaze flickered to his. What is important right now is Mitchell. They still have him, and if we don't do anything, he will die, Seth. We can't let that happen. His jaw hardened.
I will think of something, Josie. I'm not saying I'm not going to do anything, but until you've healed, I cannot leave you.
Seth!
No!
The one word brokered no argument.
You were held captive for days, Josie. You were nearly drained of all your ether. Gods know all of what happens to you there.
I'll be okay, I said.
You can get mad at me,
he said, rising from the bed. He stood like he was prepared to do battle.
You can hate me for this, and I wouldn't blame you. But I will not leave you unprotected again.
Chapter 18 Seth. Josie had argued with my decision not to leave her until she gave in to the exhaustion that was clearly etched into every movement and drawn into the shadows under her eyes. She'd made it back to the bed, and as soon as her head hit those pillows, she was out. I'd laid down beside her, not intending to fall asleep, since I was turning over in my mind everything that she'd said. I got why she wanted to rescue this Mitchell, totally understood it, but that didn't mean I was going to leave her. Nothing against Alex or Aiden, but they hadn't been able to stop Hyperion before. They wouldn't be able to do it again. The Titan could show at any moment.
You already left me.
Her words cut right through me, because it was the cold, harsh truth. I had left her, and she had suffered. When she woke earlier, she hadn't even known where she was, and she had thought she'd been in bed with one of those fuckers. Gods! The rage burned through me like lava, and the helplessness that I felt was like a bitter poison in my blood. I would not fail her again. Hours passed as I sat beside her, and I must have dozed off, because when I opened my eyes, faint sunlight was seeping underneath the heavy curtains and slowly trekking across the stone floors. Lifting my head, I looked down at Josie. She was still asleep, but some of the color had returned to the unmarred patches of skin. That was good. I had to keep telling myself that because every time I looked at her, I wanted to blow shit up, like entire countries. Her hair had fallen back over her cheek, so I took care of that tucking it behind her ear. I sat up and glanced at the door. Carefully, I eased away from Josie and fixed the blanket as it started to slip off her. Walking across the bedroom, I cracked open the door, and as I expected, I found Basil waiting outside. He stood between two statues, hands clasped loosely together. Only the gods knew how long he stood out there. I needed to get him a cell phone or something to pass the time with. How is she, Kyrios? Sleeping again. I leaned against the doorframe. Can you bring up some food? Nothing too heavy. She hasn't eaten recently. When she wakes up, I want her to eat. I'd be damned if she refused food again. I'd get it myself, but I don't want to leave her. I am not hungry, so just food for her. Of course. He stepped forward, obviously happy to have something to do. I will bring up some rice and soup. That should work well. Thank you. Basil smiled brightly, bowed, and then he was off. I stood there for a moment, and then closed the door. I turned around, the air punched out of my lungs like it had earlier when she woke from a nightmare. Josie was awake. Not only that, she was sitting up, clutching a blanket to her chest. Her eyes were wide, and there was a faint flush of pink on her unbruised cheek. Her gaze was on my face, and then it dropped to my bare chest and stomach. The pink in her cheeks heightened. This time was nothing like the last time she woke up. Relief almost cut my knees out from underneath me, and I actually stumbled forward a step. "You're awake," I said, realizing how stupid that sounded because she was, in fact, awake. And she had been awake earlier. Her throat worked.
"I was dreaming, and I thought that this was a dream."
Gods, that killed me all over again. You're really here, Josie. You're really safe now. Her eyes shut for a moment, and she clutched the blanket tighter. Pain flickered over her face, and when she reopened her eyes, there was a glimmer of tears. I moved to her without thinking. Within a heartbeat, I was sitting on the side of the bed next to her. Josie jerked, eyes widening.
That was fast.
Fast was an understatement. I remembered that she had no idea what I was now. We hadn't gotten the chance to talk about any of that. How are you feeling? She hesitated for a moment.
I don't know.
Her gaze flickered to the curtained windows.
How long have I been asleep?
A couple of hours. Her forehead creased.
You haven't left, have you?
No. I took a deep breath. I know you're mad at me. You want me to...
I'm not mad at you,
she said so quietly that I thought it was my imagination at first.
I mean, I want you to try to find Mitchell. I'm not giving up on that. I just...
She slowly shook her head.
I'm just not mad.
I stared at her in disbelief. How can you not be mad at me? You should be furious. She should hate me. I couldn't bring myself to say that out loud. I don't know how you can't be angry.
Maybe I will be again later.
A tremor coursed through her as she lowered her hand to the blanket. My chest hollowed. Are you in a lot of pain?
Not too much,
she said, lowering her gaze to the bedspread. Her fingers tightened around the edge of the blanket. I see the bite marks. I can tell you were fed on a lot. You're bruised. I paused. All over. Anger beat at me, and I worked at keeping my voice level. Did they do anything to you I can't see? Her eyes squeezed shut, and I barely had a wisp of restraint left. Outside there was a flash of intense white light, and then thunder boomed. Her eyes flew open.
You mean, was I raped? No,
she said, fingers twisting the blanket.
Hyperion, he threatened it, but he didn't get the chance. For the most part, he was disgusted by me.
I didn't feel much relief. Some rapists didn't have to like or even be attracted to someone to rape them. It wasn't about any of that, and all I could hope was that Josie wasn't hiding something. It was obvious he'd found other ways to torture her, and he had. But some of my violent anger cooled. There'd be no storm outside. There is a lot we need to talk about. Josie stared at me a moment, and then her gaze flickered around the room. I don't know what is happening. She swallowed hard. When I woke up earlier, I was confused, and I just don't know what is happening. All I wanted to do was gather her into my arms, but she didn't sound right. There was something missing from her voice, and she had the look of a cornered, confused animal. I had the suspicion she needed some space right now. Probably would be wise of me to sit in one of the numerous chairs in the room, but I couldn't make myself move. So I sat, very still. I'll fill in as many blanks as I can for you. But I have Basil grabbing some food for you. He'll be coming up here shortly. I want you to eat this time. Her brows rose.
Basil? Like the plant?
I smiled faintly. Basil means kingly in Greek. He's a half and a servant here. She blinked slowly.
You have half-blood servants here?
Yes, but it's not what you think. When I first got here, I told them all to leave. They didn't listen. I explained, wanting her to understand. None of them are on the elixir. They are all here out of free will. Confusion increased in her brilliant blue gaze.
But why would you have servants?
That's kind of a convoluted story that I will tell you, but there is something more important I need to say. She shifted and winced. You okay? Josie nodded.
I'm just sore.
She seemed to war with herself and then lifted her gaze to mine.
I'm guessing Hyperion is still alive?
Not for long. I promised. One I fully intended to keep.
Then how I'm here and not there in that...
She trailed off with a sharp breath.
I'm so confused.
Gods, she'd been through a lot, too much. I started to rise. This can actually wait. I don't...
No.
One cool hand wrapped around my wrist in a surprisingly strong grip. I looked down at her.
I'm fine. You can talk.
My gaze held hers and then dropped to the bracelet around her slender wrist. Reaching down, I lifted her hand to my mouth. I kissed her palm. Josie's breath caught, and then she pulled her hand free, folding her fingers around the blanket once more.
You really need to start talking.
I do. I took a deep breath, inexplicably nervous. I couldn't remember the last time I felt so much anxiety. Actually, I could. It was the last time my mother held a party here. I'd wanted to hide, because I knew she was going to pull me out, do the dog and pony show, pretending to actually care, pretending to be proud. Everyone would stare at me, afraid but curious.
Seth?
Shaking my head, I focused on her and said, I know I said this before, but I have to say it again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for leaving you in Malibu. Several moments passed, and I began to fear that she wouldn't say anything.
Why?
She whispered.
Why did you leave me after everything we've shared?
I thought I was protecting you from what I've become, I explained. I fed off you without you knowing. I saw how horrified and disgusted you were, and you had every right to be.
I was shocked,
she said, lifting one hand to brush back her damp hair.
And yes, I was pissed. What you did was wrong. But we could have worked through that. You didn't give us a chance.
I know. I agreed, leaning toward her. I know I didn't give us a chance. But I thought I was doing the right thing, especially after Atlas and what I've become.
The God Killer?
She asked. I nodded. When I came to and realized what I was, it... Fuck, it freaked me out, Josie. I didn't know what I was capable of or what I was going to do. That's no excuse, I get it, but I freaked out, and I have never, Josie, never been more sorry about anything I've ever done, anything. Josie's chest rose with a deep breath. She started to speak, but there was a quiet knock on the door. It's most likely Basil. I rose, but paused. Are you okay with him coming in here?
Yes.
I went to the door, opening it. Basil stepped inside, his gaze focused on the floor. The scent of herbs filled the room.
Would you like me to place the tray on the bed, Kyrios?
Sure. I followed behind him, my gaze fixed on Josie. A look of curiosity filled her features as Basil carried a large silver tray toward the bed. He placed it beside her.
I've brought you soup, Kyria, and steamed wild rice with a hint of light sauce.
Josie gaped at him, and despite everything, a small smile curled at the corners of my mouth. Basil lifted the lids, revealing two large bowls.
I've brought water, but if you would like some other type of refreshment, I would be more than happy to retrieve it for you.
Water is fine,
she said, glancing at me uncertainly before looking back at Basil.
Thank you. My pleasure, Kyria.
He bowed and then backed away from the bed.
May I be of any other service?
I shook my head. That will be all. Basil bowed once more and left. Josie now gaped at me.
Did he just call me lady? And you, Lord?
The smile went up a notch as I returned to her side, picking up the bowl and spoon. They're kind of old school around here.
Okay,
she said, but she was eyeing me with disbelief. There's a lot we need to go over, but I want you to eat as much of this as you can first. I dipped the spoon in the soup, loading it up with broth and what appeared to be some sort of noodle. Open up.
Are you actually going to hand feed me?
I glanced down at what I was doing and felt my cheeks heat. I guess I am.
I can feed myself.
I know, but I want to do this. And I did. Besides, you're busy holding the robe closed over your very, very glorious breasts. Josie's face flushed red and her eyes narrowed.
Don't talk about my breasts.
Another grin pulled at my lips. But I can look at them?
No,
she shot back. Another grin snuck free. I'm not sure I can promise not looking. I moved the spoon to her mouth. But I'll try. Josie watched me for a moment, her look indecipherable. But she opened her mouth. I got about half a dozen spoonfuls of soup in, and half that amount of rice before she said,
I saw you. You realize that, right?
She leaned back from me.
I saw you out on the balcony. And unless that was a really realistic nightmare, I don't get what's happening here.
Please, eat some more first. Anger flashed across her face, and I was thrilled to see it. Anger was better than despair and desolation.
Seth?
I will explain everything to you. Everything, I promised. But I need you to be better, healthy and whole, and I... My throat suddenly felt thick. I came back to you. After I left. You weren't at Gable's house, you were somewhere else. I didn't mean to, but I couldn't stop myself. You were sleeping. Her eyes widened.
I thought I felt you. I chalked it up to a dream, but it was you.
I nodded.
How in the world?
I'll get to that, I said, When I left you, I told myself that I'd never see you again. Obviously, I hadn't held myself to that. I came to you after I left, and then I tried to find you again. That's how I learned what had happened. I didn't even know what happened until then, and when I heard that Hyperion had taken you, I have never felt so helpless. I've never felt such terror before because I couldn't find you. I didn't know how to find you. I could have lost you in the worst possible way, but I didn't. You're here. And right now, I just want to help make you better. To get better, you need to eat, because you told me earlier that you didn't remember the last time you ate. Please, let me do this. Josie started, and for a second, I thought she was going to deny me, but she nodded. When I lifted the spoon again, there was no hiding the way my hand trembled. We nearly finished off the bowl of soup and rice in silence, stopping only when she swore she could neither eat nor drink any more. I removed the tray, placing it on the table by the door. She was still holding the robe to her chest when I came back to her, and it was hard not to think of the fact that she was nude. Under that,
I was coming after you,
she said. And I already knew that, but I kind of loved hearing her say that. Even though the whole feeding off me was so wrong, I was going to come after you. That was my plan. I was going to stand next to you. I was going to fight for you, prove that you are worthy of how I feel for you. Her voice was raspy.
And after everything, I finally see you, and that was all I wanted, was to see you. And I found you with another woman.
My heart cracked all over again at her words and the tears building in her eyes. It wasn't how it looked. She coughed out a harsh laugh.
Really?
I know how that sounds, I continued. I truly do, but it is the truth. Her name is Karina, and she is the High Priestess here.
High Priestess?
She repeated. That's a part of the convoluted story I need to tell you. She's a big part of it, and gods know it's a messed up story, but I was not embracing her. There is absolutely nothing between us. Nothing. There never has been. There won't be.
Don't lie,
she whispered.
I saw you. You had your hands on her. You were touching her.
I shot forward, moving faster than she could track. Carefully clasping her cheeks, I guided her gaze to mine. It wasn't like that, Josie. I swear to you, it never could be, because I love you, Josie. I love you.
Chapter 19. Josie. My heart slowed and then sped up. I'd thought Seth had told me that only once before when he believed I was asleep, and sometimes I wasn't even 100% sure I'd heard him say that then. But he really said that now. Seth said those three short words that meant everything. Well, I have cake was also three short, powerful words, but hearing Seth say he loved me was like 1,000 hopes and dreams come true at once. Part of me wanted to spring out from under the covers and tackle hug him. The other half was frozen in so much confusion and trepidation. I didn't truly understand what was going on. Maybe it was because I was so damn exhausted, since even upon waking and eating, I was tired down to my bones. But it felt like only hours ago I was huddled on the cold dirt, waiting, and wanting to die rather than face another second with Hyperion or the rest of the Titans. I still didn't even understand how I'd gotten here, or how we were going to help Mitchell if Seth refused to let me look for him or leave my side. And I wanted to celebrate what Seth was saying. He was finally telling me how he felt, but I couldn't erase the image of him and that beautiful brunette.
Josie.
His gaze searched mine, and I realized I hadn't spoken. I took a shaky breath. I've waited forever for you to say that. A slow smile started to creep over his lips.
and I should have said it forever ago.
I wanted to smile back at him, but all I could do was stare at him. There was so much we needed to talk about that I needed to focus on. My thoughts were all over the place, and I was feeling so much, too much. And I was naked, like legit naked under the robe that was too big and kept slipping off my shoulder and gapping in the front. And I vaguely remembered Seth hauling my sobbing, naked butt out of the shower and helping me get in the robe when I jumped out of the bed and fell on the floor naked. Concern filled those amber eyes.
Josie, please say something. Anything.
I needed to say something. If you love me, then why did I see you outside with her?
Seth was still for a moment and then lowered his hands to the space between us.
I think I need to start at the beginning.
Yeah. I tucked the blanket under my arms. I think that would make the most sense.
Rising from the bed, Seth walked toward a cabinet. Despite everything that we needed to talk about and all that had happened to me, I couldn't stop my gaze from roaming over all the exposed skin. He'd been shirtless earlier, but I hadn't noticed him. I did now. The defined pecs, the tightly coiled abs, the sweats hanging low enough that they showed off those indentations on either side of his hips. Even his back was amazing. Long, lean, and muscled. Why couldn't he be wearing a shirt? But it was Seth, so of course not.
My whole life, I've had this unexplainable draw to ether. It always called to me, even before I awakened as the Apollyon.
Bending down, he grabbed a bottle of water out of a mini-fridge hidden in the cabinet. Turning, he faced me.
It got worse when I became the Apollyon, but I never understood it. Other than the pures and halves who got addicted to ether and turned into demons, I didn't know anyone else who could feel what I could feel. When Alex awakened, she didn't feel that way. I always thought there was just something wired wrong in me, you know? But I understand now.
Walking back to the bed, he sat beside me. Unscrewing the lid, he offered the open bottle of water. I took it.
There was this voice inside me when I became the God Killer, guiding what I was doing. I know that sounds crazy, but that was how it felt, like everything inside me had been building to that moment or leading me to that moment.
He paused, frowning.
You need to drink, Josie.
In a daze, I took a decent gulp of water. Appearing to be satisfied, he said.
You know, now that I think about it, I wonder if Ares knew the truth. He wanted me to become the God-Killer. Through me, he sought to control the other gods, but I cannot be controlled.
My eyes widened, because he said that without an ounce of arrogance. It was just a statement of fact, a truth bomb delicately detonated. Seth couldn't be controlled now.
I guess he didn't realize what I would become once I was the God-Killer.
The muscles in his shoulders tensed as he shrugged.
Who knows, though? Anyway, I didn't understand fully what was happening. That's why I left, and I know that's not a good enough excuse for leaving you. It will never be, but I was afraid that I would hurt you. That I wouldn't be able to control myself.
Hearing him admit that he was afraid was always a shock, because Seth didn't seem scared of anything. I took another drink of water.
Do you remember the nymphs that had helped us outside of your grandparents' house? One of them has been around, on and off. His name is Yuan. He rarely makes any sense.
A wry grin appeared on his lips.
But he was the first to tell me I was not just a god killer, but a god.
I almost choked on the water.
What? A god, he repeated, his amber gaze latching onto mine. I'm a god, Josie, and I'm not saying that to be funny.
Shock rendered me speechless as I stared at him. Part of me wanted to laugh because it sounded legit crazy, but I was a demigod, and that had also sounded crazy at first.
I didn't believe it at first. Even when I could do things I hadn't been able to do before, it still sounded ridiculous to me.
Seth shifted closer, catching a strand of my hair.
His fingertips brushed along the curve of my cheek as he tucked it back behind my ear, causing me to shiver.
But it is true. Somehow, and for some reason, this was what I was always meant to be. The appointed god, the god of life and death.
He laughed at that as he lowered his hand.
There's even a temple here.
I blinked. A temple? For you? He grinned.
For me?
Holy crap, I whispered, and that was the best I could come up with. Seth was a god that was worshipped.
The woman you saw with me outside, she is the High Priestess. There are several priests and priestesses here.
At the mention of the woman, I tensed. And they do what? Service you? His eyes flashed.
Not in the manner in which you're insinuating.
I'm not insinuating anything. One brow rose.
The whole being a god thing actually ties into the whole you seeing me outside with Karina and feeding thing.
The plastic bottle crinkled as my fingers tightened around it. Honestly, I hadn't fully processed Seth being an actual god, but the shock was wearing off. I knew deep down I wasn't going to be happy with what he was about to say.
I'm not making this up to justify anything, because it sounds like something an addict would say, but I have to feed, he explained quietly, his gaze never wavering from mine. It's how the gods are gods. For them, when they're on Olympus or in the underworld, they are surrounded by ether. It's how their powers are fueled, and it's why I've always been drawn to it.
That makes sense, I said after a moment. That's why the Titans were feeding.
I'll never do that to you, he responded urgently. I would never force you to go through that.
His gaze dropped to my arm and then to my wrist. The sleeves of the robe had fallen back, and I suddenly wanted to shove both arms under the blanket.
Feeding is not like it used to be for me. None of it is the same. Beforehand, I got buzzed off it, but now...
He shook his head.
It's like breathing air. If I don't do it after a while, I need to. It doesn't get me wired up or high. It's just the way it is.
I glanced down at the half-empty bottle I held. Taking another drink, I then leaned over and placed the bottle on the nightstand. It didn't hurt when you did it before. I didn't even know that you'd done it. It was nothing like what Hyperion and Cronus did.
It doesn't have to be painful, but that doesn't matter now. I would never take that from you, never again, he swore,
and my stomach dipped. Because he said it in a way that left no doubt in my mind, that was what he fully intended.
Josie.
A moment after he said my name, I felt the tips of his fingers pressing gently under my chin. He lifted my gaze to his.
I will never let another thing hurt you again. Never.
The protective vibe was... It was sweet, and seeing the fierceness in his gaze was also, well, hot. But I couldn't rely on him to protect me. I couldn't rely on anyone, and that wasn't because he hadn't stopped Hyperion. I was still, no matter what was done to me, a powerful demigod. I didn't need protection. Well, that wasn't exactly true. Right at this moment, I couldn't fight off a bedbug, which reminded me of something. I glanced down. These bands, they're blocking my abilities.
What?
Seth took my right hand in his. He frowned.
I tried to take them off, but they won't budge.
I don't know if they will come off, I admitted, and my stomach turned over heavily. Hyperion said they were made of Cronus and Zeus's blood, that they were what was used to entomb the Titans.
Hell, he muttered, sliding a finger over the band. We'll figure out how to get them off. Someone has to know.
His gaze flicked up to mine.
This might be why you're not healing as fast as you should.
I guess. Being drained of my ether and not being fed any sort of regular meal also probably had something to do with it. Closing my eyes, I pushed those thoughts away before they crowded everything out. I slipped my hand free from his. How did I get here? His features tightened.
I tried to locate you, but I couldn't feel you anywhere.
Damn it, he growled, sitting back.
I didn't even know until I went to Malibu, just to make sure you were okay.
Looking away, his gaze fixed on the gauze-shaded door.
Then I went to the university, saw Marcus and Luke.
Luke and Deacon are okay? Gable? When he nodded, relief washed over me.
Everyone is okay. They are at the university. Well, everyone is there except Alex and Aiden. They ended up coming here to tell me you'd been taken.
Oh, I was surprised.
They'd already left for the island when I went to the Covenant. When I learned you'd been taken, I kept looking for you. The whole god thing allows me to sense out people. It's how the gods can pop in and out, but you were blocked from me, just like the demigods had been blocked.
Seth could now appear and disappear at will. Why didn't I get a cool ability like that?
It wasn't until yesterday when I was trying to sense you out and I felt you. Gods!
A muscle flexed in his cheek.
I found you in these woods. Percy's. I don't know if you know who that is.
I know him, I murmured, hitching the blanket up further. Seth closed his eyes.
I'd helped free Percy's, along with Alex and Aiden. I guess once he realized who you were to me, he thought to repay me and freed you.
He did? His gaze drifted to mine.
You don't remember that?
I remembered being taken to Kronos again, and he looked younger than he had the last time. He no longer appeared ancient. Skin smoother, black hair sprouting through the silvery white, and muscles replacing frail bones and tissues. I remembered being held down and him feeding, pulling and pulling from me until my vision turned black and there was nothing. There was more. Fragments. I remember Percy's coming to me, but I think I passed out before we left the room. Seth was staring at me, and he looked like he wanted to ask me something, but changed his mind.
Well, he brought you out, and that's how I found you.
Holding the blanket close, I shivered as I recalled him being the one to hold me down. I guess that was nice of him, but I won't be thanking him anytime soon.
Thanking him will never be necessary. Seth's voice was sharp. He's dead.
My chin jerked up. What?
I killed him for what he took part in.
I gaped at Seth. There wasn't an ounce of remorse in his tone or expression, but I didn't care that there wasn't because I wanted to kill Percy's. I wanted to kill all of them for what they'd done to me, to Lauren, and would continue to do to Mitchell. I'm glad, I said, meaning it. Seth exhaled heavily, and we sat there for a couple of moments. Okay, wow. So you're a god now that apparently can take out titans easily. That's pretty amazing.
It is.
A half grin appeared.
I mean, I've always thought I was godlike, so it's not that big of a change.
Ha! I raised a brow. Wait, if you're a god, then that means the other gods can't tell you what to do now, right? Hope sparked deep in my chest, spreading through me like a wildfire. If you're a god, then they can't kill you, and you won't be spending your afterlife working for Hades. He nodded, his eyes lighting to a tawny gold.
No, they can't control me any longer, and Hades is going to have to find a new toy to play with.
That's so good. Oh my god, that's such great news. It was so amazing, I almost started to cry like an overly emotional toddler. Seth, I'm so happy to hear that. His entire expression softened.
It's possibly the best part about all of this. Well, next to the ability to will myself from location to location, he teased,
and then those thick lashes lifted once more.
I have a future, Josie.
My mouth dried. A future. Something Seth had never planned on having. Something that I'd hoped to overcome but never knew how. Now Seth had a tomorrow, a next month, and so on. There was nothing stopping us from... I cut those thoughts off because it was all... Everything was too much. I thought about my mom and I just didn't want to think. Seth and I stared at one another, and the silence stretched out. The air practically hummed by the time he looked away, swallowing. I need to use the bathroom, I whispered, and then flushed, because Jesus, was there a better mood killer than that? Nodding, he rose from the bed and gave me space to gather up the robe under the blanket and make sure I wasn't flashing him as I scooted out of the bed. Wholly aware of his gaze on me, I slowly made my way to the opulent bathroom, closing the door behind me. After using the bathroom, I washed my face, wincing at how the bruised and raw skin stung. By the time I was done, I was exhausted again, and my reflection showed it. I looked like I'd been riding on the Hot Mess Express all night. Dismissing my appearance since there wasn't a damn thing I could do about it, I tightened the oversized robe around me and left the bathroom. Seth stood by the bed, holding a pale pink and blue cloth.
I had Basil bring you a smaller robe, but we will have clothing for you in the morning.
Glancing at the door, I shuffled over to him. He was here. He nodded. That was quiet and fast. I took the new robe from him. Seth smiled narrowly.
Basil is, well, he's pretty useful.
He stepped back and then turned away from me.
Let me know when you're done.
My mouth dropped open. He wasn't going to ogle me and make some sort of sexual comment. That was far more surprising than him being a god. There was a time when Seth wouldn't have turned away. He would have stared, and the intensity of his stare would have felt like a caress. He'd said he loved me. He promised to protect me, but he was standing there now with his back to me, spine rigid. Unsure of what to make of what was going on between us, I let the larger robe drop. Seth's head fell back, and I stared at him a moment too long, feeling my skin flush hotly. It was probably a good thing that he wasn't looking, that he was thinking about my modesty. While the mere thought of his bare skin pressed against mine nearly swept my legs out from under me, my head was still all over the place. The new robe was thin and silky soft as it slipped over my arms. Cinching the belt around my waist, I was relieved to see that it reached my knees and wouldn't fall off my shoulders or gap in the front. I cleared my throat. I'm decent. Seth slowly turned around and his gaze roamed over me. My breath caught at the stark hunger in those stunning eyes. Well, he definitely still wanted me. And I still wanted him. My gaze dropped to the band of his pants. I'd always want him.
Yeah, he said.
And that was all he said. I wasn't even sure what he was responding to. I moved forward, stepping around him. I climbed into the bed, tugging the blanket over my bare legs. Heart thumping, I lifted my gaze to his. I'm tired again. That might have sounded lame, but it was true. My body felt like it was weighed down with lead. He hesitated, and suddenly he didn't look like a god, a powerful being with no match. He stared up at me through thick lashes, and he looked like a man about to ask for the world.
Can I stay with you?
I wasn't expecting that question. Seth inched closer to the bed.
I don't think I can leave your side, Josie.
My heart was going to crawl out of my chest, and in an instant, the past and present collided. I loved Seth. I would always love him. Loving him didn't mean I wasn't disappointed in his choices, that those choices hadn't hurt me. Loving him didn't mean he could keep making those choices, and I would keep forgiving him. Loving him meant that I knew from the first moment that I fell for Seth that he was complicated, that loving him wouldn't be easy. Loving him, well, it meant that I was willing to fight for him. And loving him meant he had to be willing to fight for me. If you stay, you stay. You can't leave me again, I heard myself say as I held his gaze. If you can't promise that and mean it, you can't stay with me. He moved as quick as a bolt of lightning. One second he was standing next to the bed, and in another he was only an inch or so away from me, bent at the waist, his hands planted on the bed beside my hips.
I will never leave you like that again, Josie. You will never have to fear that. I swear to you.
My lips parted. So many words rose and died on the tip of my tongue. I stopped thinking about everything. Scooting over, I lifted the covers for him. Seth didn't hesitate for a moment. Within a blink of an eye, he was in the bed, his body curled so he was facing me. There were a few inches between us, but my heart was pounding like there was nothing separating us. Before everything happened, there wouldn't even be a scant inch between us. Seth was a very physical person, a cuddler. But maybe he worried that he'd accidentally hurt me by holding me close. Or maybe he sensed that I wasn't ready for that kind of closeness. He was silent as he placed his right hand in the space between us. My gaze fell to where his palm was flipped up, waiting. My heart started thundering against my ribs. Closing my eyes, I reached down and placed my left hand over his. Seth curled his fingers around mine, and he held on.
Chapter 20. Seth. You sure you're up for this? Josie was standing on the tips of her toes, trying to see over my shoulder. Basil was out in the hallway, waiting to be of some sort of service, so he was just standing there. Really needed to get him a computer with an internet connection. Her blue eyes darted to mine only briefly.
Yes, I feel better.
I studied her closely. She only looked marginally better. The bruises had faded a shade or two, the patches of clear skin were still too pale, and the heavy shadows under her eyes were present. She didn't look ready. Josie bit down on her lower lip as her gaze found mine again.
Seriously? I'm okay, I can leave this room.
After she'd fallen asleep beside me, she'd woken up a few hours later, like she had before, in the throes of a nightmare, struggling and screaming. I'd held her through it, smoothing my hand up and down her spine and whispering in her ear until she quieted and fell back to sleep. I didn't think she remembered. I did. Hearing those screams was something I'd never forget. They'd embedded themselves deep inside me. Unable to fall back asleep, I'd lain there fantasizing about slowly, painfully dismembering every single Titan with only a rusty butter knife.
You can't keep me in this room,
she said, crossing her arms. Despite how dark my thoughts had turned, I was thrilled to see that she was a little more like her old self this morning. You do realize that I could easily keep you in this room. Her eyes narrowed.
I'd like to see you try.
That was hot. Hell, everything about her was hot. Josie had slept through the rest of yesterday and all night, waking only for that nightmare. When I'd woken up this morning, which had only been about an hour ago, I'd done so with a raging hard-on. Kind of felt like a creep about it, but I couldn't help it. After the nightmare, I dozed back off, holding her close. She'd gotten turned around and her ass was pressed against my dick. And I was a male. So it happened. All right, it wasn't just because I was a male. I'd missed her. Missed looking at her. Listening to her voice and her laugh. And I'd freaking missed touching her. Gods, had I ever missed touching her? Even right now, it took everything in me not to have an arm around her shoulders. I wanted her under me, and I wanted me in her. I wanted to lock her in this room for a month, and that desire had nothing to do with making sure she was well rested. But I did hold back, because I knew Josie wasn't ready for any of that. I still wasn't 100% sure she was being honest about all that had happened to her during her captivity. Even if she was, she'd been through some shit. And then she'd come to me. And the first thing she'd seen was me feeding. The last thing she needed was for me to be all over her like a boy who just discovered he had a functional dick. Sighing, I stepped aside and extended my arm toward the door, bowing. After you, Kiria. Josie shot me a narrow-eyed look that brought a slight smile to my lips. The black linen pants and the tank top Basil had scrounged up were a size too small. Not that I was complaining. The thin pants hugged her ass quite nicely. I was enjoying the view. But in the back of my head, I was stressing about how Josie hadn't said she loved me in return yesterday. That had not gotten past me unnoticed. Her steps slowed as she entered the hallway and stared at Basil. She seemed to hesitate, obviously unsure of how to handle him. I joined her. We're going to take a quick tour of the house. Basil nodded.
Your other guests are currently in the kitchen, Kyrios. I explained that we have staff more than willing to make them breakfast, but they insisted on doing so themselves.
That's fine. They can have free run of the place.
He nodded. Additional clothing for the Kyria should be arriving by this afternoon.
Perfect. I grinned down at Josie. She was staring at Basil with wide eyes, even as the half bowed and walked off. She turned to me.
This is so weird. Like, really weird. I mean, it's like having a butler. He's like always there, just waiting to do stuff for you.
He has to be bored out of his mind. I don't really have him do much. Same goes for any of the staff here. Using them as servants doesn't set well with me, even though they seem to want to be here. Her head cocked to the side, causing her long hair to tumble over her shoulder.
But you grew up with servants, didn't you?
I nodded. This entire house used to be filled with them. I had to touch her, so I placed my hand on her lower back, urging her to take a step forward. This is the third floor. There are only a few bedrooms up here, I explained, ushering her down the hall. If you go in the other direction, you can go out on the balconies. They circle the entire home.
Wow!
Her gaze darted over the closed doors that used to lead to my bedroom and to my mother's.
Does anyone use these rooms?
No. They are closed off. Steering her away from those rooms, I led her down the wide hall toward the spiral staircase that emptied into the atrium on the first floor. The second floor is mostly guest bedrooms. There's also a living room that no one used when I was younger, and I'm assuming no one uses now. Josie's gaze was bouncing all over the place as we descended the stairs, bypassing the second floor. She was fascinated with the statues and paintings of the gods. By the time we reached the main level, she appeared thunderstruck.
Okay. Why in the world would you guys need a house this big? I mean, it was just you and your mom, right?
People who have money like to show off the fact they have money. I led her toward the back of the house, passing several white-clothed staff who'd paused to bow deeply, causing Josie's face to flush. My mother would have a lot of parties, and the guests